Hi, Bobby.
Hey there. How are you doing today?
Oh my God. I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Just got off from work and I'm going to be taking off some days for the holidays. So I have a lot of stuff that I have to get done between today and tomorrow. So I was working like a dog.
Oh my goodness gracious. I've got a few things I had to do today with errands and stuff for veterans here at my community recovery center, and it's been awesome. I've getting ready to start preparing some side items to take down for the dinner tomorrow, and I was kind of surprised the representative, the manager of the whole entire veterans group. She was like, "I'm going to be our blessing for our meals." So, and everybody, hey. So,
Yay!
I guess I'm gonna.
That's exciting.
Yeah, we're coming to lunch, 12 noon tomorrow, and it's for veterans that are here that are cannot be with their families for Thanksgiving, and we're just having a good time for each other. So, I'm looking forward to it.
That sounds fun. People don't realize that it's a lot of people who don't have family, but I'm gonna back it up. So we just came on and we're live. So I want everybody to know I'm talking to Bobby Russell, and he is a veteran friend of mine that I met online on a medical, like negligence type of group that I was in. And you get to see people can write their concerns, their problems. And it's a lady who ran that online group called Deidre Gilbert. And you can write to her with your different medical questions and so forth. So I would just be reading along. But whenever I found out that, he had a story and he was a veteran, I think I connected with him right away. So whenever he would write a post, I would always give it a heart or give it a like because it was just something about him. I think just the camaraderie of when I see that somebody's in the Air Force. Always just feel like they're family away from family, even though we have never met in a physical sense. We've met in a spiritual sense and on our online sense. And it's great because the things that he has been doing and the things that he has gone through shows his strength and his tenacity for life, right? Because a lot of people will give up and just want to fall down. But I know you've fallen down, but you did like Jay-Z. I don't know if you know the rapper Jay-Z, just wipe your knees off and you got back up and you're doing things. He's been recognized, he's saying, by the veteran group that he's in to be the blessings for tomorrow, which is great. It's funny that you say that because tomorrow we're going to a veterans lunch at it's a community outreach program that they have here in Springfield, Mass, and they do veteran lunches, and tomorrow is their Thanksgiving. So I'm gonna go to that and then I'm taking off the rest of the week. That's
Well, great. I mean, there's probably maybe 30 veterans here. We're all in this together. We're all veterans. We're all in recovery. Some have suffered from PTSD issues. Others have turned, it's just been hard for some veterans once they leave the military in a controlled environment, it's hard for them to get readjusted back to society. And this facility, it is the most rewarding. I've learned a lot about myself that I never thought was possible. And Lisa Patterson, she's just such an angel. She works so hard and dedicated to this job. She puts in long number of X number of hours in. She goes beyond what is expected of anyone to do. And she has a group of individuals that comes and speaks with us on a daily basis. I go through classes here 5 days a week. Some of our are mandatory classes that where they need to speak to us directly, and there's some that are just about building your life skills, like educating you about insurance, about loans, about personal finance, to help you get back to a point that where you can migrate back into the community as a citizen, you know, and not just in the controlled environment that which the government had done for us when we were serving our countries. And I'm sure that you're very aware of it. So there's just so much that's I'm very thankful for. In a few days, it's going to be Thanksgiving, but recently we went through Veterans Day, and I got to learn so much about my friends here at the center. It's called Veterans Recovery Center, and it's here in Lexington, Kentucky, on Elmtree Lane. It's the most rewarding place. The most I don't know what I've done without them. I really don't.
Well, it's great to know that we have those kind of resources, and I hope that people that are listening in that area will be using some of the services that you're going to talk about. Now, how did they even know about you? Did they reach out to you? Did you reach out to them? Was this something that happened immediately after you got released from the military, or years after?
No, I mean, after military experience, I lived in my home. I did try to get my benefits started, but I was always told my medical file was, or my military record was missing. And so back in 92, when I came home from the Gulf War, I was handed a file, and I was like, well, I don't know what this is for, but it looks like it's pretty important. I guess I better hold on to it. So I've held on to it through these years since 1992. And, when one day after I had, like I said, I became homeless, and I struggled. It's just a long issue, but nevertheless, I am that military veteran that was misdiagnosed 20 years ago for having HIV. I went through treatments for 10 years, only to find out that the test was negative. And it was a simple medical error that went terribly wrong because of a social worker indicating the test result with a P. She claimed that it was pending, but the doctor thought that the P meant positive. And nobody ever looked for 10 years. And I went through all those drugs causing serious problems for me, my health, my mind, my emotion, my family. It done a lot. There.
Yeah.
Okay. It did a lot of damages, and I asked for, you know, it to be acknowledged. I want steps to be taken. It's like this from ever happening again, because I'm not so sure that my, you know, my fellow brother or sister could be able to have the strength, the courage to move forward. I mean, I really wanted to commit suicide a couple of times. I was so distraught. And but, you know, the court said, oh, well, I'm sorry about your luck. You knew or should have known about this within 1 year from the time that the injury occurred, not when you found out. Sorry about your luck, but case dismissed. And I got countersued, and I lost my home. I lost everything. I almost went into, I don't know, maybe hiding, if that might make sense. I was humiliated. I was embarrassed. It was hard for me. I struggled. And eventually, I mean, it led to the problem that the state, because the state was responsible to make sure that diagnosis was correct, the city was responsible because their employee was a health department employee that indicated that test incorrectly, and the university was responsible because they did not verify the stuff. So, you know, I sued all of them, and they, because my case had been dismissed, I was countersued. Cost me $257,000, and I lost everything, and I had to pay it within 30 days, or I would never have an opportunity to appeal my case.
Oh my God.
I lost everything. I lost everything, and I let it be, but I paid it on time. I appealed the issue to the state Supreme Court. I did it pro se on my own. And I was still denied a request for a review. over something that was extremely important as an HIV diagnosis. Now, I've been treatment-free for 10 years.
Okay.
But I'm recovering, and I am a veteran. I am at the right place where I need to be, and it's Veterans Recovery Center. And Lisa Patterson has made a huge difference in my life to help me pull myself back together, to get me prepared. So when I do leave this place, I'm going to be able to be substance.
Okay, there you are. We'll continue right from here. So again, I'm just going to say this is Bobby Russell. We had a little bit of technical difficulty, but he is back. He is back to finish his story.
You know, the reality is I've been treatment-free for 10 years now.
Okay.
And in all reality, I know in my heart that they lied to me, and it should not be allowed. And it's a medical error that has went terribly, terribly wrong. I've lost everything, but I refuse to give up. And I'm here in the recovery center at, like I said, Veterans Recovery Center here in Lexington at Elm Tree Lane. And I'm blessed. I'm extremely blessed. I'm in great health. I really am.
Okay.
It's just, sure, I've got things that I have to think about, but overall, I've not had no problems with any types of infections, really, that is untreatable or anything like that. But I'm very happy. And in the process, I am considering that whole idea about trying to get my benefits started with VA so that I can get VA health care. I think it's something that I could use in any state that I choose to go to, whereas currently, my insurance will only cover me in the state of Kentucky. And quite frankly, there ain't many people in Kentucky I would trust. So, you know, I mean, I just feel like that Kentucky has done me wrong.
Right, they have. I agree. You have been through the ringer. And I guess that I admire how you can still stand tall and still make something out of yourself and still know that there's a lot to learn about yourself.
There is. I've learned a lot recently. Like I said, I learned a lot recently, especially through my church. I would never have known about this whole organization or this program had it not been for my pastor, Steve Price. He helped me in so many ways. And then just out of the blue, one day he called me and he's like, you know, is there anything that you need, Bobby? And I was like, no, you know, I'm getting food from the church. I'm okay. And he was like, are you sure? Is there anything you need? And I said, you know, it'd be nice if I had some water. And he's like, so you're thirsty? And I said, no, I'm not thirsty. I just want to clean myself up. My hair is grown out everywhere. I look like an idiot. And I said, I'm living in my car. I haven't had a shower. I haven't got to be able to really brush my teeth or anything. And I said, I'd like to have it'd be really nice if I get a shower somewhere. So he made a recommendation for me to go to Lighthouse Ministries here in Lexington. And I called them. I scheduled an appointment, and they got me in that day for a 30-minute period. And I went behind that magical door, and I shaved my hair, and I shaved my face, and I took me a really good hot long shower and got dressed. And when I walked out, there was a lady in a wheelchair, and she said, wow, what door did you go in? And I said, number 4. And she was like, well, I'm definitely one going that one because you look 10 years younger. Now, what's the story? And I told her briefly about what had happened to me, and she said, so you're a veteran. And I said, yes, ma'am, I am, of the Gulf War back in 1992. And she said, and now you're homeless? And I said, yes, ma'am. I said, it's because of my previous case. And she said, I've got a number here for a lady. I want you to call her. As soon as you go outside and get in your vehicle, I want you to call her. And I'm going to call her myself. And I said, okay, that's fine. Who do I need to ask for? And she said, ask for Lisa. And so I did that. And Lisa was like, okay, can you come up right now? And I said, sure, I'm really close. I can be there in 10 minutes. And she was like, okay. So I went in, I saw her, spoke with her, And then she asked me, I need to prove my DD-214 status, my income. And I said, well, I've got all that information in my car. I live in my car. I've got that information. She says, go and get it. And I went and got it. She said, okay, I'll review everything. Can you come back tomorrow at 3 o'clock? And I said, yes, ma'am. And I went back at 3 o'clock the next day. I was given a drug test, which I passed, for any type of illegal drugs or even alcohol for that matter. And she said, you're in. She said, just
Wow.
follow Joshua and we'll sign your contracts. And I said, hold on a minute. I said, I don't understand. No one's told me how much this is going to cost me, and I'm living on a very tight budget. And she was like, how much do you get in your pension? I said, I could never prove my diagnosis was incorrect, so I don't get nothing. And she was like, well, then I don't see that you owe us anything for rent. You come here and we will help you get back on your feet. And I am very appreciative of her, the organization, the Christian Church for providing this facility for veterans. It's really very much overwhelming. And Brother C. Price at Grace Baptist, he led me to all this, and I'm very thankful to my church. I love them, and it's been an overwhelming experience for me, and especially with Thanksgiving coming up. Today, actually earlier today, I was asked, got a call from Robin from the church office, and she's like, can you come? Are you close by? And I said, sure. She's like, well, I need you to be here in about like 30 minutes if you can, because there's a Thanksgiving basket here waiting with your name written on it. I said, Robin, I did not ask for no Thanksgiving basket. I'm okay. I said, I had Thanksgiving dinner with everybody at church on Saturday evening. She said, no, you've got a basket here. Come up and get it. And I said, okay, all right, I'll get right on up there and get it. So I did.
Wow.
And I'm telling you, the love that I have received from that church is just overwhelming, overwhelming. And to be accepted into that church the way that they have accepted me, it means a lot to me. It really does.
Right, that shows that there's still good people out there
Yes.
because when you turn on the news and you're watching social media, all you see is bad things happening to people, or bad people, bad people, bad people. But there are still a lot of good people doing things, and my heart goes out to you mainly because I am a veteran and I didn't have the same struggles that you have, but I see homeless veterans here in Springfield. And when I go to a VA clinic, we have one, I go and I get my eyes, that's where I get my eyeglasses from. I can see the devastation that a lot of veterans are having or that they're going through. I can see a lot of them probably are homeless. And if they're not, they're barely making it.
Yeah,
They're barely
sure.
making it, you know? And
Absolutely.
my heart goes out to them.
And it's
It's
amazing.
sad. It's very sad because you do a lot to serve your country when you're
Yeah.
in the military. People don't realize who've not served. You make a lot of sacrifices. And I don't think that any vet should ever be homeless, ever.
This facility where I'm at, it's not just for veterans only. There's one big wing of four veterans only. Okay. There's one wing that's just designated only for veterans, and then there's another couple more wings that's just homeless people. And I'm telling you, whoever thought this idea, they're godsend. They really are.
I
And
agree. I
I went through
agree.
that day, that period that I went through has been homeless. I call it the 45-day challenge. And if you really want to know what homelessness is like, I tell you what, leave your home, park your car, and you start walking. And you will run across people that is you're I may show some signs of strength and courage, but I'm telling you, there is people out on that street that are they are very strong, very brave, very courageous. They are afraid and they're hurt. But they are some very, very good people out on the street that are homeless. And it's terribly sad that they are there. I hope that I can be able to use my experience to maybe help them, to help them improve their lives, get them turned in the right direction. And in my right direction, in my case, I, you know, my doctor asked me what was wrong because I had got down to 120 pounds. I had to starve myself almost because of me suing the state, they refused to pay for my insurance premiums. And when I contacted the insurance company says, okay, well, we consider you being high risk because your former doctors claim that you are high risk, that you are untreatable. And so therefore, my insurance premiums was going up to $850 a month, and they took that money out of my retirement. I didn't have no other options. I stayed in my car. I locked myself in it at night. I would park in different parking lots. I would sleep in different vehicles, or not different vehicles, but different locations in my vehicle. And I did that for 45 days. And I call it my 45-day challenge. And I think I passed it. Okay. And eventually, my pastor asked me, even being homeless, I still went to my church. I prayed to my God, and I asked for help. And I was very sincere and honest. And sure, it was hard for me to admit that, you know, all of my mistakes in my life. But hey, you know what? I had to voice them to be able to release it from myself, to help me get better, to move forward. It was difficult. It really was difficult. But you know what? Going to my church, whoever hears this and they really want to know where they can go to really hear, listen, pay attention, and go to your church or whatever you believe in, go and ask for help. And like I said, my brother Steve asked me if I needed anything, and I told him, I said, I have everything. The church provides me food. I'm all right. I'm alive. And I'm in my car, but I'm alive. And he said, are you sure now? There's nothing you need. And I said, you know, I really need a haircut, and I really need a shave, and I would like to clean myself up, so I really need some water. And he said, so you're not thirsty? And I said, no, I'm not thirsty, but I really would like to clean myself up a little bit. I feel dirty. And he said, Bobby.
All right. So we still have Bobby Russell on, and we're going to get ready to close out. And I just want to say a couple of things. I want to thank you for coming on. First of all, I appreciate this so much, number one. Number two, I want to tell you that your complete transparency with your life and what it's like being a homeless person, a homeless veteran, and some of the things that you went through is incredible. And you are inspiration to a lot of people. You may not feel it, you may not know it, but when people listen to this interview, they're going to be able to say, I can do it. Because I know that it is a lot of people out there, and I'm in Massachusetts, and it's just starting to be really, really cold. And it's a lot of people who are living outside. It's people who are living in their cars. It's people who have a family and that are living in vans, that are homeless. And, you know, you could be a good inspiration just giving some people some places to start. So could you give like maybe two or three good tips on where to start to get help?
For me, like I said, I'm a Christian person now, I guess. And I delivered myself. And I was just open and honest, and it sure it hurt. You know, we do hurt to admit to our faults, our mistakes. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's very important to do so that people that are listening will understand of what we're trying to say. And homelessness is a huge problem, not just in there in Massachusetts, but it is here in Kentucky. And furthermore, for the nation, really, I noticed that just a couple of days ago on NBC News, Morning News, they were saying that there was more people that were asking for assistance with food this year than ever in history. And that's overwhelming. It's, you know, but I want anybody that's listening to this, I want you to know that you're not alone and you need to speak out. And if you don't know where to call or to contact, get a hold of me. I'm available on Facebook. I'll answer your request. I'll try to help you, send you to the right place where I think you need to go to, because it's very important. And furthermore, I'm also the director, like I said, of the Kentucky's chapter of the National Medical Malpractice Advocacy Association. And I'm under the direction of Deidre Gilbert in Houston, Texas. She's former governor candidate for Texas, but that did not work out too well. But she is the president of this organization that I volunteer for. And if I don't know the solution, I will get you in touch with her and she will help you. But I want everybody to know to just not give up. As long as you got hope in your heart and you got belief and you believe that it will get better, then I promise you it will. It will. Just be patient and you will make it through. It's hard. It's not easy. It's extremely difficult. But I'll be your friend and I'll be here for you 24/7. So I never could get anybody to help me with state or federally funded programs, but I tell you, my church did, and they were there for me when no other person was there. And I'm extremely thankful and grateful. And if everything that you have tried, if whoever the listeners are, if they've tried to seek out assistance with other agencies or organizations, I tell you what, find you a church. And they will help you. Got to be honest, but they will help you. And they will lead you on the right path. And you will recover. And you will feel blessed and extremely happy as I am. So my Thanksgiving message for everyone is I want everyone to enjoy a happy and safe Thanksgiving. I wish the best for everyone. And everyone deserves a really good hot meal. If you don't know how to get one, like I said, reach out to me. I will find a source that you get a really good hot meal for your Thanksgiving meal. And wow. Know that you are loved and that you are appreciated. And don't give up. Always stay focused, but never give up.
Oh, my gosh. That is so heartwarming. This is... very emotional, as an emotional podcast for me, I would say, because for somebody, like I said earlier, to be able to come on and be transparent and talk about your truths and then be willing to help others pull themselves up and do better is what we need in this world. So many mean people, so many evil people. People always have something bad to say. I've heard things about people that were homeless, you know, if I'm with friends and I'm walking and people are like, why don't they just get a job? Or why don't they do this or that? Because number one, you're not in their shoes. It's easy for you to pass judgment on somebody that you don't even know. And you don't even know their life. You don't even know why they're homeless. It's people out there that's been in the military, that have jobs, that are educated, that have families, and people fall on their luck. And you never know. I always say, I'm like a paycheck away from being homeless. All your bills paid, and then you could be homeless too, because the economy right now is awful.
Yeah, I'm telling you right now, it's just not veterans. I mean, when you stop and think about the domestic violence issues going on in courts, you know, women, they have children sometimes, and they are trying to recover. There is a way. There is a way. And I'm telling you, there's hope. And if I do not know the resource to get you to, I will find you someone that has that information that I can provide you to lead you. Wherever you are in America, United States of America, when I joined the Air Force in 1992, I swore to protect and defend my people of America against foreign and domestic enemies. I don't care who it is. I will live up to my promise to not just to my country, but to God. It was a sworn statement, and I hold it very, very close to my heart, and I mean it. And I want people to understand that my experience, I really wanted to give up, but I couldn't. God would not let me give up. It just wouldn't. I had to deal with it. And I'm telling you, this is what worked for me. And if you need guidance and direction, please reach out to me. I'm here for you. I really am. And I can be reached on Facebook. So,
And I'll put his link out there too. When I upload this podcast, I'll put his name and his Facebook information for anybody who needs to reach out to him. And I do want to reiterate something that he said. It's not just homeless people are not just veterans. You see a lot of people that are veterans on TV, because for some reason, when they talk about homeless, they always want to say the veterans. But he's right. It's moms who have kids, running women that are running from domestic violence because they can't go home and they don't have family. They have nowhere to go, and they end up being homeless with these small children.
Exactly.
So it can happen to anybody.
It really does happen, and that's something that I learned along that 45-day challenge that I lived as being a homeless man. I experienced it. I saw it. I saw victims. There has to be a way. There has to be a way, and I found my hope through my church. But
all right, okay. All right, so we want to just thank you again for coming on the podcast. We appreciate you. I'm going to link his contact information on the podcast for anybody who want to reach out to him or who have questions. So to anybody who has lost their way and lost their hope, he started with a medical malpractice suit that went bad, and he became homeless, but he has overcome, and he's joined the church. He's found some new family friends, and he's even getting a good job too. So there's hope out there for everyone. Okay, thanks for listening. Medical Moments 917. Okay, so that interview again was with Bobby Russell, and he is an Air Force vet who went through a very tough time with the medical malpractice lawsuit in which he lost, and then they countersued him. And from that point, he lost his home and he became homeless. This is what Medical Moments is all about. It's finding people who have been through some medical moments. Okay, he was misdiagnosed. He sues them. They countersue him back. He loses everything. He becomes homeless and distraught. But the moral of this story is that he was able to gain his footing again in life. He went through some rough times, and he will talk about those. He had some issues that he had to deal with, and he had to get over, but at the same time, he's able to find a good church home with good church family that were able to get him in and send him in the right direction, connect him with different organizations that he had reached out to himself and still was unable to get help. But the proof is in the pudding that we get help in numbers. Sometimes when we are by ourselves, we are one finger fighting for help. But if you can get four more fingers
and make a hand, or close them up and make a fist, you get more footing, you get more ground, you get more help. For some reason, for some people, it works like that. They have to get a group to help facilitate things that they try to do on their own, and it's like no one's listening to you and no one will help you. He's not the only one. It's happened to thousands. I'm sure maybe even millions of people have gone through this. So again, I want to thank you, Bobby, for coming on. I want to thank you for being very transparent and sharing your story and letting us walk in your shoes so that people can know now what homeless people go through. It's not so easy sometimes to get help. You do the right things, you reach out to the right people, and you still do not get any help. But I do like the idea that you found a church home and that you're very successful, and the place in which they placed you is signing you up and setting you up for better opportunities in life. You're going to be able to get job skills, and you're going to get skills on how to save money and just learn different things about yourself to make you a better, more powerful person. And then now you can go around and share your story with other people who are homeless or other people who are in your current situation, and direct them at different agencies that would be very helpful to help and fulfill a life. There's nothing better than having a nice life. And a nice life is just having the basic necessities, a roof over your head, a shower daily, food to eat, and friends to conversate with, or friends to bounce questions off, or friends to get help with. And I hope that there's someone who listens to this podcast who learns something and who gains something, who even maybe even reach out to you from another state, another community, and can share resources with you about different things. And you can always leave comments after you listen to this podcast. So if you're in a state and you know places that people can go that can actually get them some help, that are homeless, please leave a comment after listening to this podcast, okay? Thank you so much for joining us, and we appreciate each and every one.